Good morning. Welcome to Tony Talks Humanity Matters. I'm your host, Tony Julian, and today we're going to talk about cutting the crap out of our diets for 7 days. There's so much pressure to eat junk, and we have our own internal programming as well as far as the triggers that make us want to eat unhealthy foods for instant gratification, and we self-medicate to make ourselves feel better, but ultimately, we just feel a lot worse. And I recognize that while we're sheltering in place, we all feel like we need a little bit of comforting, but there are just greater rewards if we can think more about the long term than the short term. We have so many social pressures right now, which is less now that we're sheltering in place, but it's still prevalent. Like I'm seeing through different situations, whether it's a professional organization, maybe something work-related or a club or a group that I'm involved in, or even friends, where people will want to just get together and have, you know, a cocktail hour or get together and Thirsty Thursday, let's all drink together. And so I think these habits or these social pressures are still in place. They're just a little bit removed. So I recognize we want comforting, and I recognize that we want to be able to make ourselves feel good, and we still want to be social. So that's therein lies the rub, right? It makes it a little bit more difficult to participate and still feel good about taking good care of ourselves. So the other thing, too, is all over social media, people are baking, which is wonderful. That's a very comforting home-based grounding thing to do. But there are also all these sugary desserts, cheesy-laden dishes and things. So there's no escape from that. So today what I'm excited about is we are going to put a stake in the ground and combat this unhealthy groupthink. So let's not go with the flow of what I call the American decondition, which is the steady decline of our health due to poor lifestyle choices. Let's improve the quality of the food that we eat, because how we eat makes such a huge difference to how we look, how we feel, and most importantly, a major contributor to our overall health and staving off disease. So let's take advantage of this time where we can move through this and come out better than when we started. That is our challenge. Nutrition has more of an impact than most anything else you do, with one caveat, being getting enough sleep every night. So how do we prioritize our time and our resources toward the many efforts that you need to make to keep yourself healthy while you're juggling so many different goals at once, right? So I've conducted research for decades. My specialty is how to regulate blood sugar, improve your nutrition, stave off disease, and especially to improve your body composition. I've worked with individuals and companies and even competed in a natural bodybuilding contest or competition, and I learned how to change my body composition drastically. So I was 48 and I tied for first place in what's called the Open, which is against all other age groups, including 20-year-olds. I tied for first place in that, and then I wrote a book about my self-reinvention, and I entitled it Bite Me, because at that point in my life, as I am going against this grain of society and eating healthy and not going with the flow of what people are eating, what people are drinking, it just wasn't met with very much support. All right. So people just want me to drink with them, eat with them. Somebody even made me a chocolate sundae and said, "Eat this, you're too thin." And I wasn't. I was eating 3,000 calories a day. And for a woman who's 125 pounds and 5'3", that is just a ton of food. I was eating healthy, I was crowding out the crap, and I was incorporating super healthy, nutritious foods into my diet. I was very convicted about doing this for myself, and the reason is that I just came out of having surgery for pre-cervical cancer, which was very high risk. And I came out fine, but I lost my best friend right at the same time. So I decided to reinvent myself. And this figure competition was not about health per se. It was more like, let me push myself to where I am uncomfortable and get on stage in a bikini at almost 50 years old. And let's see what I could do. Let's see if I can reinvent myself. Let's see if I could make drastic changes to my body composition because I was literally not a big person, but I didn't have hardly any muscle tone and I wasn't very strong and I didn't feel good. And I was having hormonal issues, hot flashes, and that kind of thing. So I was very, very convicted. And I learned so much through this situation that I just started sharing it with people around me. So I've come to learn over the years that the priority and given the most impact on how different aspects of what you can do for yourself makes an impact on your health, number one is sleep. And that is an entirely separate podcast that I absolutely will do. Number two is food quality, and that's what we're going to talk about today. The third is food quantity, which we are not going to discuss, which is portion control and calories and goals and that sort of thing. And then number four is fitness. And obviously, there are many, many, many other elements that go into being healthy. But we are going to talk about cutting the crap and improving your nutrition and improving your health. So cut the crap for 7 days. Now, we can go work out as much as we want, right? But we're not going to see the changes in our body and, more importantly, feel good, have all of our hormones regulated and working if we're also eating crap. Cheap, low-quality processed foods, sugars, overuse of alcohol, fried foods, all of those things set us up with inflammation, makes us feel lethargic, and it is also a major, major contributor to almost all preventable life-threatening diseases. So I would love for you to join me and set an intention to cut the crap for 7 days. It's only 7 days. So why 7 days? 7 days is because for people who do have sugar in their diet or alcohol or substances that are inflammatory, it takes about 4 days for it to leave our system and at least 7 days for our bodies to start to normalize and adjust. So I'll give you an example. Wine, if you have a couple glasses of wine or a couple beers or a margarita, it takes about 4 days for it, not just to be out of your system, but for your body to start to get back to normal where it's not disrupting your sleep cycles. So even if you have alcohol, there is this a false assumption that it helps you sleep, and it does help you fall asleep initially. But hours later that same night, 3 o'clock in the morning, 2:30, 4 o'clock, whatever, it is likely to wake you up. And so that is very disruptive to our sleep cycles. And then after 4 days, you can still have low blood sugar impact. So it could lower your blood sugar 4 days later, up to 4 days later, right? So if you just think about that harmless, you know, glass of wine or two or the beers or whatever, the whiskeys, those things can impact you. I've taught people how to modify their behaviors and their eating regimens for years, 12 years now. And this particular situation is that it is very straightforward. There's not a lot of rules you have to follow or specific foods you need to buy. And I know right now with sheltering in place that it's also a little bit hard to maybe get all the ingredients that you want. Like I went online and I tried using Instacart and it was just an epic failure. I think I ended up with, I don't know, 5 things out of 20 and, you know, back and forth with my personal shopper and didn't get most of what I needed. So I understand it is really hard right now to get certain things. So I'm not going to put any restrictions or say you have to eat specific foods. So the idea is just crowding out unhealthy foods and then bringing in as many healthy and nutritious foods as you have available to you. And that includes fresh foods, pantry foods, whatever you have. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how we actually integrate those. So we're not able to go to the gym right now or do some of the things that we normally like to do. So why not use this time to focus on ourselves and make sure we come out of this experience healthier and better than when coming into it? Let's take this time to focus. And the benefit is that you'll be able to elevate where you are. So I repeat that, elevate where you are right now. I recognize we all have different levels of where that is. You may be eating really healthy and go off track occasionally, or maybe you have a nightly bad habit that you're trying to kick, or it could be that most of your diet, you are subsisting on low quality foods. So for me, it was my issue was I was having wine most nights with my husband. We'd open up a bottle and sit outside and thought, oh, why not? And I kind of fell into that trap at first and I justified it by thinking that it made me feel better and this is just such a hard adjustment. And it is sheltering in place and modifying our behaviors and the fear of getting sick or our family getting sick or loved ones and being pulled in different directions with, you know, you've got kids and you may have elderly parents or you may have friends that are homebound and sick, but that's over right now, right? So the kind of trauma part or the abrupt changes is what's over, right? So we have made those changes. We're into this. I think I'm into this for at least 6 or 7 weeks now. So for me anyway, I feel like that hard adjustment is a little bit past me. It may not be for you, and I'm not wanting to take that away from you. If you're still struggling with certain aspects of it, many, many of us are. I have kind of emotionally pivoted, and I look at it in a kind of a positive way in some aspects. I try to find the positive in most everything. So now we are getting into that point where it's more of a lifestyle, right? So once you're past a week or two and you're into your 6th, 7th, 8th week, you're developing new habits, you've made those adjustments most likely, and now we're talking lifestyle. So if we're in this space right now and you are experiencing things like cravings for sugary, salty, crunchy snacks, I call them PMS foods, but you know, you guys out there, you probably have those cravings too. And it could be that maybe our portion control is off, or maybe we're eating too much of even good, healthy foods, right? So there are different scenarios and different pitfalls that we're each facing. So this cut the crap program, and it's not really a program, but it's just a 7-day, I guess it's a program that you can do for yourself at home. And it's just to reinforce, it's not about scale weight. It's about staving off disease. It's about how you feel, how you look, and your body composition. And that's the amount of muscle you have in proportion to the amount of fat. And we want to be able to eat properly so that we're healthy and that every cell in our body is nourished and functioning the way it's supposed to be functioning. Only when we can cut the crap from our diets can we truly be our authentic selves and use our gifts. And we all have gifts to share with the world. And I am big on this because I feel like I am coming into mine finally at 60 years old. And if we're putting crap in our body, we are tamping our gifts down, okay? And I am learning this myself because I feel like I've kind of hidden behind being a little bit shy and drinking wine and doing things that basically make me not be fully present. So now I am on this quest and I am encouraging you to make some similar adjustments is just to elevate yourself. Like, let's be in this to be fully present, fully aware, fully awake. We are not going to be able to be the people that we're put on this earth to be and be able to help and share with other people unless we are. And to get there, we need to take impeccable care of ourselves, love ourselves, and nourish our bodies. And it's not about being perfect. It's more what I've coached people to think about is that it's more that you are just making the best decision as you can in terms of your nutrition as you move along. So meal prep, preparing in advance will make you much more successful. Or just think about when you're making a choice. It's like, should I eat this leftover Chinese food or should I have this yogurt and an apple and, you know, some almonds? Clearly, one is way better for you than the other one. But so many times we are just eating because things taste great and it's comforting us. So here are the guidelines. I'm going to go through the categories of the different macronutrients. Those include complex carbohydrates, lean proteins, and healthy fats, which things to stay away from, and give you just some ideas of things that you can incorporate in its place. So crowding out the crap. The number one culprit, I believe, is sugar. And whenever I've done public speaking events, I always ask people to, we do this game or ask them to all stand and then to sit down if they've eaten certain crappy foods in their diet. And I may ask, you know, sit down if you didn't have breakfast, and a certain number of people will sit down. And then I'll say, sit down if you've had sugar, like cookies, blah, 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 baked goods. And literally 90% of the women, bam, they all sit down together. And it's so funny because people realize, yeah, we do all kind of do this, don't we? So when it comes to sugar, think about not just the obvious ones like cookies and sugary sodas, if you do that, pancakes, syrup, and then white processed food also can go into that category of sugar, because when foods are processed, they metabolize really quickly and convert to sugar. So it could be a bagel, or it could be sourdough bread, which is, I know it's yummy with melted butter on it, but I get it. But those things, let's take those out of our diet just for 7 days, because they will metabolize quickly and they will help spike our blood sugars. So even something like agave, which we've all heard in the past, it's so healthy and low glycemic, and that is not it at all. I even wrote about it in my first book thinking that it was healthy, and everybody did it and they promoted it as being a low glycemic product, and it absolutely was not the case. So even educated nutrition experts like myself can be thrown off track and fooled until we learn better. So you can look at ingredient labels. If you do buy something that is processed, minimally processed, granola or whatever, take a look at the sugars, all right? And let's swap those sugars out for some ideas. Fresh fruit, like berries, are wonderful. They're very high in antioxidants. Bananas have potassium. We want to eat a rainbow of fruits and vegetables. So you can swap out, if you're looking for something a little bit sweet, say you are doing a smoothie and you have your protein powder and your almond milk and your flax, add half of a banana or half of a cup of berries, depending upon your serving size, maybe a full cup if you're a bigger guy. So you can include and incorporate some of these things into your smoothie. And the reason that we want to eat it in combination with other things, again, is so that it metabolizes slowly and it does not hit your blood sugar. So I believe everybody should eat like a diabetic so they don't become one. And that is balanced macros, smaller meals, more frequently through the day. Other good alternatives that are natural and can be used, say, in your coffee, your tea, or baking is honey. And that is still sugar for certain. However, it does also have other health benefits, especially if it's from local bees. And it's also high in antioxidants. So if you are going to have sugar, local honey is a good option. I also enjoy some plant-based sweeteners that I'll share with you, like Truvia, which is a combination of stevia and erythritol. And both of those are plant-based. One is from the leaf, the stevia leaf, and I believe erythritol is from a plant bark. And so it is sweet, but it does not add calories to your food, and it also does not impact your blood sugar. And then monk fruit also provides sweetness, and monk fruit is often combined into some of these other natural product blends. And it also provides sweetness with very few calories, and it also does not spike your blood sugars. And they sound artificial, but they're not. They are all good for you. I use all three of those in my Tony's Protein Meal products, and it gives that sense of sweetness, not overly sweet. You don't want to overuse it, but just a hint of sweetness, and there are no calories in it, and the right balance of macros so it doesn't mess with your blood sugar. So they're all really safe and healthy for you. If you haven't tried them, I'm sure you can find them locally. Next in the, I call it the sugar category, is alcohol. And I'm talking about beer, wine, margaritas. They are full of sugar, plus hard alcohol, of course, which margaritas are. And red wine, if you're going to drink it, is the best for you. It does have antioxidants and some other healthy properties, but it also does convert into sugar, part of it. And the alcohol portion is, it's something your body doesn't recognize. It's like a foreign substance. So your body, what happens is when you drink, your body doesn't recognize the alcohol and your sugar levels rise, because there is also sugar, right, from the fruit. It's fermented. And what happens is your pancreas just says, oh no, and that it secretes insulin, and that insulin is going to grab that circulating glycogen and it's going to go straight into fat storage. All right, so The other thing, too, just to recognize is if you're a white wine drinker, and I know some women are, mostly women, not so much guys that I have seen anyway, but that has like four times the amount of sugar in it. So if you're going to drink a wine, red is best. White, I would stay away from if you can. Maybe convert yourself over to being a red wine drinker, but just super minimally, like balance is everything, right? When we drink wine, not only does our blood sugar escalate, but then our bodies do store it directly into fat. And then when we drink wine, we also let our guard down. We start eating some other things that maybe aren't so good for us. So it's ideal, especially for these next 7 days, just cut out all the alcohol. And that includes beer, wines, hard liquor for sure. And that remember that up to 4 days later can impact your blood sugar. It actually wakes you up in the middle of the night. So if you aren't sleeping well, this would be a great thing to swap out. And you can swap it out for your favorite healthy beverage. Just make sure you have something on hand, like an herbal tea. Make a pitcher for the refrigerator. In the summer, you can add lemon slices. And the amount of fluid that you need is 1 ounce for every half pound of body weight. So say you weigh 150 pounds, you would need to drink 75 ounces daily. And that's a minimum. That's on a normal day. And that is if it's not overly hot. So obviously we want to drink a lot more when it is. Another thing we need to cut out is artificial ingredients. And I include diet beverages. And I used to be a Diet Coke addict. Like seriously, I would leave the house in the middle of the day just to go to a local drive-thru to get a Diet Coke. And I had to have a Diet Coke fresh from the machine. It did not taste the same as from the can, and I would want a big cup with a lot of ice and a straw, and I would just suck that down, and it made me feel good. I frankly do not know what's in Diet Coke, but I think it's very addictive, and it certainly was for me. And this was about 4 or 5 years ago, and it took me at least a year to get off the Diet Cokes. I would crave them. And the thing about artificial ingredients, and especially diet beverages of any brand, is that they are so acidic and they have so many chemicals. And it takes about, if you can imagine this, 30 glasses, picture 30 glasses of 8 ounce cups of water, all lined up, 30 glasses, to flush out the acidity that's created by one diet soda. Just one diet soda. It takes 30 glasses of 8 ounce cups of water to flush it out. That is how acidic your body can be. And if you think about how much acid is in our system and how much that sets us up for disease and illnesses, because when our body is acidic instead of alkaline, you know, we can talk about pH balance here just for a bit. An alkaline environment is really inhospitable for cancers and disease and sicknesses and viruses and bacteria and funguses. So especially as we're going through this coronavirus situation, making sure that our pH is balanced at like 7.0, 7.2 is really important rather than going acidic. And most of our bodies will tend to go more acidic than alkaline. So if you can remove the acidic types of foods like alcohol, coffee, sugars, artificial sweeteners, then we are going to be much better off as far as being able to balance our pH and adding in things like fresh plants, greens, and fruits, which we should be doing anyway. So to swap out these artificial ingredients, we can include things like sparkling water with lemon or lime and read food labels to make sure artificial ingredients like food colorants or preservatives are not included. Like the fewer ingredients, the better. All right, next step is refined white foods. And this would be foods like white flour, sourdough bread, bagels, cinnamon rolls. Those are my favorite. Cinnamon and sugar, especially those big. Here I am. I'm fantasizing about cinnamon rolls. Those cinnamon rolls, especially, like, I just love cinnamon and sugar. Anyway, what can I say? Croissants, donuts, white bread. So breads aren't bad if they're whole grain. And breads get a bad rap because they're considered a carbohydrate, which they are. And I'll hear people say, I don't do carbohydrates. I don't eat carbohydrates. And I will respond with, well, you eat vegetables and fruits, don't you? Right. Well, yes, of course. All right. So the difference is that, of course, there are different nutrients in all these different carbohydrates. But where I think carbohydrates get a bad rap is that carbohydrates that are good for you are whole grains, right? And so the carbohydrates that aren't are processed. And the difference, I think, where people might think it makes them fat, or I've heard people say that, or help makes them put on weight, is that a carbohydrate, a healthy carbohydrate like brown rice or quinoa, is about 200 calories per cup. So it's much more calorie dense than, say, a cup of spinach might be. A cup of spinach is probably 50 calories. And then a cup of whole grain is 200. So you can see it's four times more calorie dense. So you just eat a little less of it. But there are so many nutrients in it. So I just wanted to kind of dispel that you know, horrific thought that people have that, oh my gosh, I just can't eat whole grains. You can in moderation. And there are certain nutrients you can't get any other way. So, and especially if you're vegan, you need those whole grains to pick up some of those proteins like in quinoa and things. So when you eat back to overly processed white foods, when you eat white food, like I mentioned before, your body metabolizes it really quickly, right? So what happens is, say, if it's like a white rice or flour, that outer coating of fiber and nutrients is removed. So it just breaks down so much faster in your system. And that's, again, when our pancreas starts to secrete insulin, and that insulin binds with those sugars and it drives it straight into fat storage. You're hearing me talk about fat a little bit, and I'm not talking really about losing weight during this situation here. I'm talking about just saying how your body works and how we want to have good body composition and to feel good. And to do that, we need to really look at metabolizing and how our bodies work. So to swap it out, instead of refined white food, some ideas for you would be 100% whole grain. So if you're looking at a loaf of bread, if it says whole grain or whole wheat, that's not good enough. It has to say 100% whole grain or 100% whole wheat. And that goes from breads to tortillas and that kind of thing. Then other great sources of whole grains would be brown rice and quinoa. Quinoa is actually fairly good as far as a plant source for protein. It has, I think, 4 grams per serving. And then sprouted grain breads are also good. Next up is saturated fats. And those are fats that are solid at room temperature. So butter, red meats, sausages. You know, you see a sausage in the refrigerator the next morning and it's so congealed. And it's, to me, it's just kind of gross. But that's just me. It contributes to all kinds of arterial diseases. So we want to swap out those saturated fats for healthy oils. And when we think about healthy oils, those would be olive oil, avocado oil, flaxseed oil. And then we can include things like whole avocados in our meals. And when you eat flaxseed, say you're putting flaxseed in a smoothie, that will pretty much grind it. But flaxseed, just to keep in mind, it has to be ground. Otherwise, our bodies are not going to break it up. All right, so it has to be blended or ground before you eat it. It is just too hard on our digestive system. And then you may not be able to get some of these things, but hopefully you have at least all olive oil in your cupboard so you can swap that out if you're not already using it. And we want to incorporate these healthy fats because they are high in omega-3s and also like salmon, right? Wild salmon, not farmed salmon. But these omega-3s we want to really boost and reduce the omega-6s, like some of these polyunsaturated fats, like in corn oil and safflower oil and those kinds of things. And then the omega-9s are our saturated fats, and we get plenty of them already. So we really want to focus on crowding out those saturated fats and bringing in more omega-3s. And it's that ratio that you want, which is higher omega-3 to the omega-6s and 9s. So the strategy is to crowd out all those unhealthy foods with healthy foods. Here are some tips to help you incorporate some healthy foods into your diet. So the first is that in every meal, so that you regulate your blood sugar and you can stay fuller longer so you don't have cravings, is think about combining and focusing on first a lean protein, and then you can add a complex carbohydrate and then a healthy fat in every meal. So just for example, it would be like 3 ounces of a chicken breast and maybe half of a cup or 3/4 of a cup of brown rice, and then some avocado. So you have your lean protein, your complex carb, and your healthy fat. And you can see that when you have this type of meal and the proportions are right and you're hitting them, you don't have to worry too much about calories to start. Like, this is not about weight loss. I would just say eat enough so that you're not hungry and you stay satiated and your blood sugar is regulated for about 4 hours. Like, if you eat that balanced meal of the right amount of calories, you're not just grazing 100 calories here, 200 calories there, that's going to mess with your blood sugar and you're going to be hungry in an hour and then you're going to want to eat again. So that is not ideal. It's kind of like when you are hungry and you have an apple and say that's 100 calories and it's a pure carbohydrate, which is great. It's a healthy carbohydrate and it has fiber. But when you eat that one apple because you are not eating it with a healthy fat like almonds or something, and you're not eating it with some protein, then you're going to metabolize it, digest it much faster, and then you'll be hungry again. So we want to be able to eat frequently enough so our blood sugar is regulated, but not go too long, because after, say, 5-6 hours, your blood sugar starts to drop again. And what happens when our blood sugar drops is your body is protecting your brain, which needs pure carbohydrates to function. So your body starts going after the carbohydrates and it'll start metabolizing your muscle because we don't have any more circulating glucose. And glycogen is made and stored in our liver and our muscle cells, both of which break down the glycogen into glucose into your body for immediate energy. So what we want to do is be able to fuel our body, have the right amount of calories, and eat the right combination of healthy foods so our blood sugar stays regulated. And what that does, it improves our body composition. We want to maintain our muscle. So not going too long in between meals, I would just eat what you need to be satisfied. And then you'll know, obviously, you'll know your portion sizes. You know what's too much, what's not enough. And I always serve my foods on a small plate or a small bowl. And I never put foods directly on the table. I serve myself in the kitchen and then I go sit down to eat. And I take what is the right portion for me. And I make things that are balanced, and then I don't really go back for seconds. So the other thing I do is I don't eat between meals and I don't eat after dinner unless I have to. So say before bed, if you do feel like you're hungry, like maybe you've eaten at 6 or 7 o'clock, and it's 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and maybe you can't fall asleep. And I know that I have those nights sometimes. And so I'll get some almond milk and I'll just heat it up and put some cinnamon in it, because that does help regulate blood sugar, cinnamon. But I just heat it up and it's comforting and it takes the edge off being hungry, so I'm able to fall asleep. I really love doing that. And the other is there's a hot tea, it's called Good Earth. I'm sure you all remember the Good Earth restaurant, especially in California. I'm not sure if it's outside of California, but Good Earth had this amazing tea and they used the cinnamon that has a very high oil concentration and is just so good. And it helps cut the cravings. It tastes sweet, but there's no sugar in it and it helps regulate your blood sugar. So they do sell that commercially now, which I love. I always make sure I get the decaffeinated version. Those boxes look almost identical, so they're really easy to get confused. So anyway, I would just do your best. And if you have a day where you feel like, you know, I just really gave it a good effort, maybe it wasn't perfect, just go ahead and consider that a successful day, because you're making changes and you're improving where you are. And that's all that really should matter, is you're making sustainable lifestyle changes. And if you're eating total crap right now, and you cut most of it out, that is a huge change too, even if there's some left in your diet. So I'd rather that we look at this as not black and white, but as transitional strategies to get you to where you really need to be. I guarantee that if you do this for 7 days, crowd out anything that's unhealthy, try to get as many veggies as you can and balance each meal so that you stay satiated and you can cut the cravings, I guarantee you will feel amazing. I do. I'm on, I think, day 10 myself. And what a difference. I can tell you that personally. So thank you for listening. I hope all of this helps and that you and your family stay safe and healthy. And I hope that this gives you some food for thought. Be sure to subscribe and check out tonyjulian.com for more podcasts, blogs, resources, and Tony's protein meals and grab-and-go meal bars. All right, stay healthy, stay strong. From my heart to yours. Until next time.